The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, VSiN App Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it on this Friday morning. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, football.
What's up?
How you doing, man?
Good, man. Thank you.
The reason I say football, because I don't know if you know, the Super Bowl isn't this weekend. It's actually next weekend.
What?
Yeah, no, not really. Every guest we have, even if it's Paul Carr on soccer, even if it's Dan Bespris today on basketball, greatest audio in the biz, everybody's got to have a Super Bowl 58 opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear this. You know, I'm so immersed in my basketball betting that I haven't even noticed that the Super Bowl is happening. I don't want to hear that.
That feels like a direct shot at one specific person.
You know what? Completely not. I'm completely making it up because I'm just projecting. And they probably all have an opinion. Paul Carr will join us to talk Premier League soccer with us, get his thoughts on a big coaching event departure that is happening in the Premier League. Also, Dan Bespris, as I mentioned, on the NBA, the best audio in the biz. Jason Weingarten, Chris Felica from Fox Sports talk Super Bowl 58 with us, as will Matt Brown. Matt Brown, who is a little sore that Mike Somich, his partner on the handle, comes on the show on Mondays. So he said to us, yeah, I'm not coming in anymore. There's no chance. I thought this was my gig. So he's only doing a segment with us on Skype. Is that true? Is that how that went down?
Yeah, it's true. Or I just didn't tell him.
Oh, you didn't.
It's on me.
All right. Let me start the show with a couple tennis picks so I don't forget to do that later. Again, these are all at VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest on the network has their picks listed at VSiN.com/picks. Even those that we don't do on our shows, in the event of, say, they happen in time zones that don't make it actually work out. So as tennis is in Australia, then in Asia currently, part in Europe, when we have those time zone differences, a lot of picks are going to come and go before I even get on the air. Plus, I'm not here on weekends either. But today we do have two more to come. These are the only two picks of the day, one of which the line is not as good. The other one, you can actually get a better line than I had on the ladies' side. I am on, it's your girl, Kelly, Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova. Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova. Now, on the VSiN.com/picks page, I gave these out last night. I got her at minus 123 against Elise Mertens. She's up to about minus 130 now, consensus. Don't bet this over minus 135, but I've got Pavlyuchenkova. If you're going to forget this and you're like, how can I remember Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova? Just remember it's the longest name you'll ever see in your life. So that's the play. Don't let it get above minus 135, but it is still playable at minus 130 right now. On the men's side, your number is going to be way better than the one I gave out last night. I am on Flavio Cobolli. Once again, not quite as sexy as the plus 221 we hit on against Gael Monfils the other day. He is going up against Borna Coric. Cobolli, rather, was plus 135 last night when I gave it out. Plus 157 now. So your number is way better than mine. So that's absolutely a play. So it's Pavlyuchenkova on the ladies' side, Cobolli on the men's side. Would you like to do the pronunciations from now on? Would you like to? That should be your thing.
I really would.
I'm sorry about that.
Currently in action in Montpellier, it's Alexander Shevchenko and Alexander Bublik.
That's exactly who it is. Well done.
Nailed it.
I'm done
for the day. Perfect show.
That's it. You're out. You're released. Okay. I guess we'll do this one more time because this has been a theme throughout the week. Joel Embiid now officially with a meniscus injury that he incurred against the Warriors, against the Dubs when Kuminga fell on him. He already had knee problems and Kuminga fell on him the other night, sort of thing. And now he looks like it's going to be absences, you know, the duration of which we don't know because we don't know what the treatment's going to be. But remember, he was already up against it when it came to MVP. He could only afford to miss four more games. And so now, one further step of him crashing. What is he now, 60-1 or something for MVP?
Yeah, 60-1, the same odds as Jalen Brunson now at DraftKings, who put on a big-time game in New York last night. His odds were crashing. Will and I were just texting, actually. His odds crashed in about three different markets. Jalen Brunson last night, people just trying to figure out getting any kind of bet on him. But yeah, he is out to 60-1 now, Joel Embiid is to win MVP, and it is It's been a wild week. I mean, you had, you know, Ramona Shelburne was talking on Monday, I think it was, that before, you know, that Denver game over last weekend when he said he was going to go, wasn't on the injury report. Sixers end up getting fined for it. He was trying to go, but guy couldn't jump. And then we saw him play in that Warriors game. Well, you know, it wasn't looking great throughout that. Kuminga falls on the knee, but it's been kind of both knees too. That's the other thing. Yeah. But that was the bad one that Kuminga fell on. They are calling it a meniscus strain right now. They're going to be reevaluated more over the weekend. There was a first report yesterday that it was a tear of the meniscus. So more that we'll learn about that, I guess, over the weekend. I think they've now hit the point where the MVP discussion is kind of out the window. It's come and gone. We got to see that play out in real time this week. What was going to happen with him? I think they're now reevaluating. It's going to be the big evaluation this weekend of, is there a way to have him healthy for the playoffs?
So real quick then, Jokic, by the way, -140. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, no relation, +275. Doncic, +550. And Giannis, 7-1. Is there a bet on Giannis at 7-1 still, in your opinion, or no?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I still think where this market's at, I think if you're catching him at 7-1 or any longer than that, he's still the player. Shai's going down. I think anything, if you found 3-1 or above 3-1 on him, I don't mind that as a bet. I think Luke odds are silly, but you're seeing Shai come down. He's +275 now.
Any Kawhi love at 100-1? Nothing. No.
I already have a ticket on him, 150-1. I think there's a path to that happening.
His stats are not like the others, but there is a path.
Yeah. Right. But if they wound up with the one seed, you know what I mean? And maybe a couple of these other guys tumble a bit. Jokic and Shai don't put up as big a numbers. There's a path there for sure.
Does any of this trigger an Eastern Conference bet? Eastern Conference with the Celtics, the short shot at +130, the Bucks at +230, and the Sixers now 7-1 with the Knicks creeping up at 10-1.
Yeah, I would say not right now, Gil. I think it's interesting. The Celtics are definitely the team to beat. I personally think the Bucks are still number two. I think that people keep asking me about Doc Rivers and the Bucks and how this is all going to work out. I don't think the offense is going to change really at all. It's going to continue being one of the best offenses in the league. And the defense really can't get much worse. So I think this team is still going to be right there. And look, the Knicks and Cavs have been playing really, really good basketball, and the Knicks have been doing this with some injuries as well. I think this is the best Knicks team I've seen in a very long time. So they're going to push some of these teams. No bet, I would say, right now, Gil, but I think there's a Sixers. Like, let's monitor what happens this weekend. If they kind of rest him, or it's a kind of 6-8 week timeline, I'll be happy to grab a Sixers bet in a week or two from now when they've drifted much further.
Two rando things. Clutch player. How do we define this?
No idea. Absolutely okay. No idea.
Anybody booking this?
Yeah. Like a lot of players.
So how are we defining this? Is this like the comeback player of the year nebulous thing in the NFL with clutch?
Yeah, it is. Let's see. The player who, quote, best comes through for his teammates in the clutch in the regular season.
Right. That really helped out.
It's stupid. I mean, there are like clutch time ratings and stuff like that. But like it has not been a market that I have even considered making a bet in all year.
Last NBA thing. Rate the veracity of this LeBron rumor that we're hearing yesterday from actually a credible LA source,
yeah,
that the Lakers are trying to move him and the destination was where?
No, I mean, there are. This is all rumor mill stuff. All rumor mill stuff.
All but scuttlebutt.
The Miami Heat did get linked to this rumor of LeBron James, and it would basically be Duncan Robinson, every future draft pick they could possibly muster. I don't even know what else, because they'd have to match more salary than that. I really, in a vacuum, I love the idea of that possibility happening. It would be kind of cool as a cheesy old Heat fan to see that occur. But you can't. In reality, you cannot have Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and LeBron James on the floor at the same time. Like, nobody can shoot a three. Like, that's going to be a problem at some point during the playoffs.
The Heat never, it doesn't matter with the Heat. They make it work.
It doesn't. I mean, it would end up being one of those where Tyler Hero and then like Caleb Martin went now. Well, one of those guys would have to be included, but somebody would end up going like 47% during
all
the playoffs.
All the NBA heads will be like, oh, the Heat are terrible. Then they look up and they're in the finals. The same thing every year. All right. NFL MVP. And by the way, props, of course, to come on the show as well.
Wait, real quick. Gil.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't think that's actually going to happen. Okay. I'm just saying stuff that's floating around right now. And most likely it is LeBron playing old LeBron tricks. He didn't play against the Celtics. It's probably, hey, front office, trade deadline's coming up. Do something to make this team better. We saw the stupid hourglass emoji tweet, all that stuff.
I just wanted to use the word scuttlebutt.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to do. All right, NFL MVP for, again, not NFL MVP, but Super Bowl 58 MVP. I have three bets going. They're all a little shorter than they were, but they're all still playable, including I got McCaffrey at 6-1. He's plus 475. He's the shortest besides the two quarterbacks, Mahomes and Purdy. I still think that's too long on McCaffrey at plus 475. I got Debo at 40-1. He's 20-1. I got Kittle at 80-1. He's at 60-1. You, sir, do you have an MVP bet at all?
No, I haven't. I haven't made any. I'll probably end up sprinkling a little Mahomes on there because I have the Chiefs side bets. I haven't made any yet. I think that's all I'll end up doing, but I think that your point on McCaffrey is good. Like that, I think that number should actually be a little shorter. And I'm surprised it only moved from 6-1 range. I think he's live, absolutely live. And if this Niners team wins, McCaffrey's going to have a big game.
I will go as far as to say as he's the most logical non-quarterback to bet on in this market in years.
Mm-hmm.
He's just that guy. And if they win, he has the most. If you ran the simulation, he's the one that ends up with it the most times.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about some player props later, but like I would be stunned if him and Isaiah Pacheco don't get like 18, 19 carries.
Pacheco at 30-1. Are you buying into the people who love that?
No.
I'm not either.
I already bet over on his rushing yards, but MVP.
Again, it's on the fly. So all things being equal, they will default to Purdy and Mahomes. I get that part. We'll come back. Paul Carr on the Premier League and his Super Bowl thoughts next.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in this morning. We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly's going to spice up that last segment we did as we do it moving forward with the old wig.
I think I need a gavel.
Maybe a gavel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting enough head turns in the D. I got a couple, but I need more. Everybody in the casino is not looking over here, it's a problem.
Everything we do is rated by how many head turns we get. That's our only. It's our only sort of bar we're trying to clear here. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the Bear. He is at Fox Sports. He has a Better Bets podcast. The Bear Bets podcast. There's so many B's in all of these. The Bear Bets podcast, both pro and college football versions. He's Chris Felica, everybody. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing all right. I'm actually going for a little nice little walk on the elliptical right now, taking in the show. So listening to Devin and Jason and Paul and everyone tried to say this morning. So nice leisurely hour walk here. So hopefully I'm coming through loud and clear.
Well, not exactly loud and clear, but we'll see if we can get some plays from you here in the short term. First of all, soccer. Did you have any soccer thoughts? Any bets you're making?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Two games today, African Cup of Nations, which has been mainly an underfest for the most part. If you look at the first match, it starts in an hour. Nigeria, Angola. This is another 2.5 match. If you look at Nigeria's matches so far, none of the four have had more than 2 combined goals scored in the game. They've held each of the last 3 opponents to clean sheets. Nigeria, with all of the upsets going on in the tournament, probably is the favorite to win this now. So I have under 2.5 in Nigeria, Angola. And then the second game today should be another lower scoring game. Congo and Guinea. If you look at Guinea's matches, this is probably the folks who to score no. Guinea has not allowed a goal in their last 2 matches. Most of their goals have come late. So I think if you're looking maybe for the prop out there, will there be a goal in like the 75th minute or later? This could be a match you want to fight out as well.
Okay, so let me just, for those who didn't get that, Nigeria-Angola under in the Africa Cup of Nations. And what was the second one?
I would play, both teams to score, no, in Congo versus Guinea. And if there's like a prop where you can play, will there be a goal in the 75th minute or later? That would be something that I would look at in that match as well.
Okay, both teams to score, no, in the Congo match. And if there is a prop 75th minute or later to score, he would look into that as well. Okay. We'll try to get through a little Super Bowl 58. We might have to cut you off early here, Chris. Anything Super Bowl 58 that you have bet, either prop-wise or on the game itself?
Well, I've had props, the Super Bowl futures on both the Niners and the Chiefs, so I haven't bet anything yet. But I know Jason was the numerologist. I want to give a little more numerology here. I don't know if you've heard this or not, but there's a lot of you heard about this, like numerology with the 13. Like, it's Taylor Swift's favorite number. The game is played on 2/11. 2 plus 11 is 13. They're playing the 49ers. 4 plus 9 equals 13. And it's Super Bowl 58. 5 plus 8 equals 13, and as long as she's back from Japan from a concert, this will be the 13th game the Taylor Swift is attending to see the Chiefs. So between the flag being buried at midfield and number 13, I don't know how you can't bet the Chiefs, right?
Sounds logical to us.
Obviously.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, seriously, though, like, I'm kind of starting to gravitate towards the Niners. I think... And you've done a great job of breaking this game down in terms of like checking the boxes, position group by position group, and coordinate. But I think that advantage that the 49ers have on offense with the number of skill players that they have will be ultimately too great. And the Bills just ran the ball up and down the field on the Chiefs. And that was something the Ravens really got away from. So I think if they run McCaffrey and Debo and jet sweeps and stuff, that could be the way to go. And the Niners' defense, their weakness is their secondary and those long passes. The Chiefs don't have the game breakers at wide receivers that they used to have. So if there's ever a unit that you wanted to be weaker here, I think that's it. I'm not sure the Chiefs' wide receivers can really expose the Niners' secondary. So I'm kind of leaning towards the Niners right now. If I didn't have any futures or anything involved, and if I had to make a bet, I probably would just play Niners money line.
Probably would just play Niners money line if you didn't have anything going. What are your futures in play?
I have both teams to win the Super Bowl. Oh. I was just accumulating them throughout the year. I got Niners 10-1 early in the year. I got them again at like plus 6-1. I got the Chiefs at like 6-1, 8-5. I got a bunch of different numbers. So
beautiful.
I'm probably just going to be sitting there on Sunday, just kind of watching. And it's one other soccer play for you. I know Paul was talking about the Arsenal match a little bit before on Sunday. I know he was talking about Arsenal. He liked the over here. I'm not so sure. I kind of disagree with Paul on this. This is a decent on decent crowd because I respect him. And Paul's a friend of mine, and I work with him at ESPN. So I respect what he has to say. But if you go back and watch the two matches that Liverpool and Arsenal have played this year, one was a 1-1 match at Anfield where Arsenal scored off the set piece early on. They really didn't threaten to score the rest of that match. A couple of weeks ago, Liverpool went to the Emirates and won 2-0 in an FA Cup tie. Like, Arsenal didn't threaten really at all. And that was a Liverpool team that was down a bunch of guys. And in the last week or 10 days or so, I know they don't have Mo Salah, but Liverpool has gotten the key guys back on the defense and at midfield as well. So I'm not sure this is an over 2.5. I would play under 2.5 here. If Liverpool were to win this match, it basically eliminates Arsenal from any contention to win the Premier League. If Liverpool get a point, I think that's what the ultimate is. As long as Liverpool get a point, I think they're going to be okay with that if they still have Man City coming at home. This feels like a Liverpool or tie kind of play for me, where I don't think Arsenal right now, the way Liverpool has been playing and the way they've been made up, I don't think Liverpool is going to go there and not come away with at least the points. So Liverpool or draw, I think, was like minus 160, and that would be the way I would play it.
Okay. Going oppo Paul Carr on that. A little guest-on-guest crime. Chris, we're going to let you go early because of the audio. Enjoy your walk.
I'm sorry.
No problem. Enjoy your walk. Chris Felica, everybody. Bear Bets Pod.
Man, I'm about to start making a list of how many guys are on opposite sides of that game, Gil. It's been so many.
We get tweets at Beanie the Book. Colin Murphy. And again, the best listeners in the game, just reacting to every little detail of everything. Colin Murphy talking about clutch player when I brought that up earlier. He says, I think the play is Brunson for clutch player award in the NBA. They'll want to give him something if they finish with a top three seed in the East. Talk about the Knicks, but I think MVP is a stretch. Grabbed him 75-1 the other day. You can still get a 60-1 on Jalen Brunson for clutch player of the year at BetMGM, he says. 60-1. Are we still seeing that out there? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Go for it. I scooped a small MVP on him last night, but I don't think there's any chance he's winning it.
Bosch in Chicago.
Every awards market with him was getting steamed last night.
Brunson.
Yeah.
Bosch in Chicago. Thank you, Bosch in Chicago. He was reacting to my openly wondering with Paul Carr about how many draws occur in the Premier League. Bosch in Chicago says 20% of matches ended in a draw this season in the EPL. Thus far, 40% home wins, 33% away wins.
Interesting. That was a good question by you. I also think it's, don't you think they have to bake that into the price a bit?
Oh, they sure.
Like
yeah.
books, you know what
of
I mean?
Of course,
like, nobody wants to go and bet that.
Right, but I don't know if they do it just based on the sample size of this year. Probably not. It's probably longer than that. Trip Tepper, Bronny James being touted as a lottery pick was the biggest joke in the history of the NBA. He can barely get on the court for USC, who are 8-13. His stats, 5.6 points a game, 2.8 boards, 2.4 assists, 36.6% field goal percentage. Jason was all over that. He's like, Laker lottery pick. He can't even get on the court for USC. Bobby Geddes couldn't resist taking some long shots when the playoffs started. Ended up with Kittle, Super Bowl MVP at 200-1. Kelsey anytime Super Bowl touchdown, 22-1.
Nice.
Wow, that's a nice one. Mahomes rushing Super Bowl touchdown, 40-1. And Debo Super Bowl MVP, 35-1. Oh, that one you could actually, that one you could have gotten at a better price later.
Yeah, but where's the funny ones? Where's the five others, that we know you bet on the Bills or something?
He closes his tweet by saying, apparently I picked the right two teams. Good luck as always, gentlemen.
Oh, that's awesome. That is great.
Nevada Azer. I'll be in town later next week. You guys on Radio Row all week? No, just Thursday, Friday. I said, also, is Fezzik responsible for Caesars changing how Diamond Plus redeems the drinks? We used to be able to print them off and use older dated tickets anytime. Now you have to redeem at the bar, 4 per day only. I don't know. You'd have to ask Fezzik, who is 7 stars. He's above.
Ooh.
He's above the Diamond Plus status. Rick Ollier. Happy New Year, Kelly. Jason is going for the infinite gauntlet of insulting major corporations and fan bases. LeBron stands and USPS workers down. Taylor, Leo DiCaprio, and Apple are next. Sorry to inject Marvel nerdiness into your Friday. Ryan Hyatt, until Gil and Kelly can get a licensed moonologist on the show, not sure I can continue to listen. I expect a certain level of expertise.
Sorry to let you down.
You're Ryan. Right. Nash, last name Nash, with his connections to the Pentagon and Postal Service, I'm shocked Jason didn't have NASA on speed dial. Oh, he's got him on speed dial. He was just offended they didn't get back to him quick. Brian Schaefer, moonologist. I believe it's called lunar geologist. Yes, we are aware that is not the technical term. We're just messing with Jason who said it. Primetime, Cowboys_1. I'm sorry. As a board-certified practicing moonologist, I don't care for the tone of your discussion mocking my profession. Bobby Knuckles, 72 Taylor Swift props, you said? It's obviously too many. They should have settled at 22. Scott, New York.
Thanks for tweeting in, Bobby Knuckles.
Yeah.
He's old 10 feet away.
Bobby Knuckles. Oh, is Bobby Knuckles back here?
Yeah, it's Rob Moreno.
Oh. New York Mets 16. Some of the Taylor Swift props I've seen are color of lipstick, hair up or down, show cleavage, do a TikTok with Jackson Mahomes, etc. You can bet on whether or not she's going to do a TikTok. By the way, speaking of TikTok, after the break, can we do a little TikTok segment? Because there is a great TikTok from this British guy reacting to American football. We got to play that.
You better believe it.
D-Gen Southern Jet, I'd rather see Justin Fields in a Falcons uniform than Russell Wilson. And James Sott, hopefully Watson keeps up the last momentum he had when he led that great comeback versus the Ravens. He was the old Watson in that game and made me remember how he used to be. Love you guys. We're gonna play that back, the British guy. And props, Super Bowl props, most rushing yards, receiving yards, passing yards, receptions. Next, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN daily newsletter, Bill 80, crafting it. And I do mean crafting it every morning. In today's newsletter,
Get all your splits for all of the novelty props posted at DraftKings.
Here you go. Get expert analysis, latest odds delivered straight to your inbox, absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada here at the D on a numbers game. This gentleman, we'd have him on every day if we could. But the reason he's on sparsely is that his kids are petri dishes of bacteria. It's Dan Bespris, everybody, from Fantasy NBA Today podcast and, of course, Sports Ethos. How you doing, man?
Guys, I know I came on here one time and I said my nickname should be the plain bagel because of how I like my life to be. But the bagel is fully covered in like children's. Well, frankly, probably boogers at this point. It's just, it's,
oh no,
it's never ending. It's never ending.
Why you, Dan? Why you?
Why me? Yes. Whoa. Whoa is me. I want everybody's pity. Just lather me with pity.
He's like, how did I get these children? Well, let me explain that one to you, Dan.
When two people love each other very much.
That's right. Different kind of show. When two people really like each other. All right. Before you get to talk anything NBA, by the way, I hope your kids feel better. And you and the wife. Before you're allowed to talk NBA, you must give a thought on Super Bowl 58. Them's the rules. What is your thought?
You know, historically, I know you're doing this to me because you know I don't follow the NFL.
That's right.
At all.
That's right.
But as an Angelino, I have to root against anything from San Francisco. So,
oh, wow.
Okay. I have rooting interest and I have no betting interest of any kind. I know that historically, and I don't know if this has changed in like the last two decades, the favorite on the money line and the dog with the spread tend to be the slight values in Super Bowls because of how public gets in on, ooh, an underdog type of thing. But because there's no real like money or money line price on the dog,
that's
folks,
right,
I think, can see that, then that probably just goes right out the window this year.
That's
so
exactly
I'm
right.
For nothing.
Dan Bespris knows his stuff. That's exactly right. So the Super Bowl tenet that we say on this show every year, which is the public bets the dog on the money line when it comes to Super Bowl, so it kind of bled into the championship games, yep, too, that's their behavior changes. Usually they take the points in the regular season. It doesn't really apply here with this small of a spread.
Yep. I've got a Super Bowl prop question I know Dan can answer. Okay. Dan, what's your favorite Gatorade?
So I had a GI bug when I was 11 years old.
No.
And I drank orange Gatorade for a week. So I cannot touch it anymore. So give me blue.
Blue
best. Is real chill.
Correct answer. That is the correct answer, Dan.
It is absolutely the correct answer. Was I going anywhere or you just wanted to ask him?
No, just Gatorade breakdown coming next week. Deep tease.
Dan, you are the sickest family I've ever run into in my life. I just want to
really
point that
true.
Out. Yeah.
Gil, I've had multiple people ask me, are you okay, in like the last 6 years? And I was like, I had a kid. So no, I'm very much not okay. And then we had another one and it's exponential, the germs.
Do you think our parents talked about us this way, by the way, a generation ago?
100% yes.
My mom denies it. Gilly, we never talked this way. It's only the kids today. All right, NBA. Embiid, he can't really afford to miss many more games here, so he has dropped all the way to 60-1 in the NBA MVP market. We talked about it earlier. If you were betting this right now, what would you bet?
So my hope, because, you know, this is going to be a tight one, and you've got kind of like the usuals. Giannis is going to be in there and Jokic is going to be in there. And Luka's always going to be in there because, Gil, you and I have talked for 4 years about how the NBA so badly wants to get, yep, Luka an MVP. But the Mavs are going to have to go on a winning streak. So I like him at +550. If you're thinking Kyrie can get himself back there and they can push him up to the top of the board. But this discussion, this explanation is actually going to bleed into a couple of thoughts I have about the way the two conferences are looking right now. And the Thunder have one of the easiest schedules the rest of the way. So if you're looking at not taking the favorite, which is Jokic at the moment, and honestly, he probably will end up winning it, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander actually has a really nice shot at it. He's been fairly healthy this year, which is a big thing with the 65-game limit. His team is right up there at the top of the board in the West. And I think they have the second easiest calendar from now until the end of the season. So they're likely to continue winning. And if he keeps doing what he's doing, you could make a really good argument because you look at Jokic, you're like, okay, he's got Jamal Murray. He's got Aaron Gordon. He's got Michael Porter Jr. There's all these guys. And when you talk about the Thunder, people say Shai and Chet. And a lot of people have trouble naming a third player on that team, which I think could maybe play in his favor. The NBA loves to make sure they split this thing up. So if you're looking at anybody besides the favorite, I think Shea has a pretty good shot and a decent case at it.
How does that flow into your conference thoughts?
Yeah, so that's why I think Oklahoma City actually has a really nice chance to win the West. And I don't know how the stretch run is going to impact them, but Shea seems generally unstoppable. And as long as he's healthy, again, that's a team to me that can collect wins where a lot of the opponents, a lot of the competitors they have in the West, the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, the Clippers, they all have at least slightly tougher schedules the rest of the way. I don't know that I'm like so bent on it that I think you have to go race and bet the Thunder to win the West. But I do think they have a really nice path at it because they've knocked out a lot of the best teams in the league. And by knocked out, I don't mean they necessarily beat them. They've just already played them, where Minnesota, I think, has the Clippers three more times. And I think Minnesota and the Nuggets play each other three more times. So they're just all going to be beating each other up while the Thunder are cruising through against a bunch of 500 ball clubs. I think the Thunder actually have a pretty good shot to win the West if you think they don't fold late. And I do kind of believe in them. I don't know why. I do. I think they can handle it down the stretch.
But regular season is one thing and postseason is another, right? And so the NBA has this history of, you know, you don't just get there your first go at it kind of thing. Historically, that doesn't happen. So it's fun to talk about, but do you really think they could overcome a best of seven gauntlet in the West?
No, that's probably where you look at a team like the Nuggets or the Clippers right now and assume they get past them. And then Minnesota's defense, you can't really overlook that either. I don't think I would have the Thunder coming out of the West. And honestly, at this point, I'm not certain who I have coming out of the West. You'd be hard pressed to get me to take anybody besides the Nuggets because they're very much in sort of on autopilot this entire regular season. Off a championship, you see that a lot. But if I was going to go another direction, the Clippers are very impressive these days. I you know, the only reason you would fade them would be the historical health stuff of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, but knock on my fake wood desk here in front of me, so far so good on that one. And I, you know, we don't have the power to jinx. To anybody that's about to tell me that I have the power to jinx, as a longtime minor league play-by-play broadcaster, I promise you, I can't control these things. So Clippers, I think, are really interesting coming out of the West. I think the Timberwolves, I'm not as high on them getting out of the West as I am on them, you know, maybe challenging the Thunder for that first seed. And then again, it's very hard to fade the Nuggets until I see anything that suggests that they're not the team they were last year, just sort of coasting this regular season.
Dan Bespris, former play-by-play guy for the Bakersfield Blaze. High A.
That's right, baby.
High A ball for those scoring at home. You're in Southern Cali. You heard these LeBron rumors. What would you, like, if I asked you to make a line on LeBron stays with the Lakers versus LeBron gets traded, like, what is that line?
The stays with the Lakers line is so chalky, you wouldn't be able to swallow that down. He's not going anywhere. He is firmly entrenched in Upper Brentwood, which is like 3 miles from me, but we couldn't be farther away from one another. He's entrenched in Hollywood stuff. This is where his family is. This is where his life is. He's not leaving. His kid is in school here. He's not leaving LA.
That's what I said. Sorry. I said, does anybody put a mic in his mouth? Because that will go away in a heartbeat if they do, because he'll be like, I'm not going anywhere. All right, then we never asked this question because it's, you know, it's so simple and we try to be in the weeds more. But who's in the NBA Finals, though, if I put that to you right now?
All right. Well, I just said I thought the Nuggets were coming out of the West, but maybe I should say something crazy. Give me Clippers out of the West to just get wild and woolly. And it's got to be Celtics in the East. I would love to have said the Bucks, but the Bucks are doing very strange things these days. I don't have faith in Doc Rivers. Call me crazy and going way out on a limb with this one. But even if they take a 3-1 lead over the Celtics, I think we all know what's going to happen there. I mean, I like the Knicks a lot as a team to sort of get in on early and maybe hedge as they go, but I don't see them beating the Celtics. I mean, Boston's just too talented. I don't care what happened last night. That was the classic team has two stars out. Other teams like, well, I can just do whatever I want in, you know, first day of February kind of thing. That's not who they are. We saw the Celtics when they were trying the first 2 months of this season. They are very, very good. So give me Celtics and Clippers just because I want to see a different team out of the West.
Dan Vespers, get those kids healthy, man. Okay?
I can't, Gil. I've tried everything, and I can't do it. They will be sick until the day that they graduate high school, and then they'll still be sick, but they won't get me sick anymore.
Father of the year, Dan Vespers. Sports Ethos. Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Love you guys.
Great
Thanks
seeing
so much.
You. JBT's calling, and he's like, how dare he call the Clippers wild and woolly?
We did get Rich Paul, LeBron's agent, did talk to ESPN a short while ago, said he will not be traded. Will not be traded.
Breaking news. We're done. Best bets next. Enjoy.